This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacead. Almacead is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacead. Find out more and see the university studies at almacead.com. That's almased.com.
Like that? You didn't think I could get to that high note.
I was going to ask you, what'd you do with the money?
He didn't go to
the money your parents gave you for singing lessons.
He didn't take the lessons. I know that.
I bought beer and cigarettes. We are fired up to have Bob Carpenter join the program. Carp, I've watched. The Nats were nice enough. They sent us the, that big box they sent to some folks getting ready for opening day.
Yeah, I haven't seen mine yet.
Well,
7 days.
Okay. It was 7 days of
giveaways.
A lot
of good stuff in there.
Got it.
One of them was a baseball with 20 years on there. And I was at RFK. I saw Levon Hernandez throw that first pitch. I think it was Brad Wilkerson got a hit on the first pitch. And you have been the soundtrack of all of it. It's really cool to be with you on opening day here on Half Street.
Yeah.
And kind of take it all in. The totality of that moment. RFK opening day to now,
Yeah.
Congrats. Well, I mean, what a run.
Charlie is the one Nats broadcaster who goes all the way back to 05. His partner, Dave Jagler, and I came along in 06.
Sure.
But I was still with the Cardinals in 05, and I remember a weekend series we played at RFK against the Nats, and the Nats came into St. Louis. And I knew Mel Proctor and Ronnie Darling pretty well. Ron Darling came through Tulsa as a player with the Texas Rangers AA.
Okay.
And that was the first broadcast team the Nats had on Masson. And then the next year they brought in myself and Tom Pachorik. And I tell you, man, it's for this to be my 20th year and the team's 21st year, it just kind of boggles my mind. It's like, where did the time go? But, I did look at my driver's license the other day, and it did say, yeah,
it was.
You're 72 years old. I can't change any of the digits on that. I'd like to roll it back about 10 years.
Dude, I hope I look as good as you at 52. You look fantastic.
Well, thanks.
You're going to have a problem. But opening day is different for different people. You've been around this a long time. Do you still get excited as you always have?
You know what, B. Mitch, I got up this morning. I had butterflies. I mean, and we're sitting out here looking right into the ballpark. And when I get up in that booth in a couple of hours, I'm going to get it all over again. And I go back to my first ever opening day. It was it was 41 years ago, April 3rd of 1984. And I was with the Cardinals. Well, guess where we got to open? Day game, Dodger Stadium.
Wow.
75 degrees and sunny. And I'm sitting in the booth about an hour before first pitch. And there's a wall next to me. And on the other side of that wall is Vin Scully.
Oh,
there's
boy.
A wall to my left. On the other side of that wall is Jack Buck.
Wow.
Of the Cardinals, and I'm 31 years old sitting there saying to myself, what in the hell am I doing? And The Cardinals won that game. I think it was like 11-7. It was some crazy, wild and woolly opening game. That's the one that will always stick out to me because it was my first day in the big leagues.
And that's two Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Yes.
And my
yes.
team won, and the you know the presence I was in, it was just nuts. And hopefully something will happen today to make this the second best ever, or maybe the best. We'll see how it all works
out. Well, I imagine, you know, because you've announced that this is going to be your final year, and I imagine it'll stick with you in a different way, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe not a best, but it'll certainly be one you remember.
I'm already feeling a lot of melancholy, you know, since we made the announcement on Monday, and I just want to thank our fans. The outpouring on social media and text messages and, you know, different messages I've gotten, it's just been overwhelming. And, you know, you really find out how great the people are here. This is the last place in the world I ever thought I would be working. I grew up in St. Louis, been a Midwestern boy my whole life, and this opportunity came up in 06. And I jumped at it because it sounded like a really unique thing to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this whole thing with the fans and everything has just been overwhelming for me the last couple of days. And, you know, it's really – when Labor Day gets here, that last month is going to fly. And that's when you're going to see me boo-hooing all over the place and all that. But right now we got a job to do. We got 6 months of baseball ahead of us. But I want to thank a couple of key people with the Nationals who really – kind of put in my mind, because I hadn't thought about this, guys, because you know what this business is like. You don't usually get to choose your departure.
Sure.
Somebody does that for
you.
And B. Mitch knows that as an athlete, too, because it's a business, ultimately. But a couple of years ago, Jackie Coleman, who was a wonderful lady who worked in our broadcasting department and helped to run the scoreboard production up there, she said, would you let us know far in advance when you're going to do this so that we can give you a proper send-off? And I had never really thought about that before. And then Wendy Bailey came aboard a couple of years ago and kind of repeated that to me, Alan Gottlieb and Mark Lerner. I had a meeting with them down in Florida last week, which was 90 minutes of three friends getting together.
Sure.
When you're friends with the people you work for, that's really rare.
There you go.
So they have just treated me so well here, guys. And, my ultimate responsibility is to the fans to make them feel good about being a Nationals fan. But it sure helps when you got key people backing you up like I have here.
Totally.
Absolutely. We are lucky enough to have Bob Carpenter with us live here, half an N Street broadcasting live outside of Tap 99. Come through if you're coming to Nats opening day. And why wouldn't you, man? Opening day, hope springs eternal. You can follow Bob at scorebook_Bob. He joins us via the Rude guest hotline. Rude is the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. No boo-hooing today. Today's about baseball.
It is.
And the
no crying in baseball, Bob.
the Nats have this young core of players that we've been hearing about and waiting for. And today, they're all here. I mean, Mackenzie Gore's starting. You know, opening day starter and pitcher is a big deal. Let's start there before we get to some of these bats. What do you think for Gore?
I heard somebody say the other day, the Washington Padres against the Phillies on Thursday. I'm like, no, they're our guys. You know, they got Juan Soto. Well, they don't have Juan Soto anymore, so what does San Diego have to show
for
that deal?
They had him for a brief period of time.
But, you know, McKenzie starting, CJ at short, James in left. It just goes on and on. You know, it won't be that long before we see Robert Hassel III, most likely. And, you know, this whole thing has just been crazy. And I think we have the potential for an exciting young team. The entire body of work for 24 tells you that the Nats scored the second fewest runs in the league to Miami, had the second worst defense in the league to Miami, and had the second fewest home runs in all of baseball to the White Sox, who had a historically bad season. So I know in my heart the offense is going to be a lot better. It's going to be exciting. We need CJ on base. We need Dylan Cruz on base.
James knocking it out of the stadium.
Exactly. And then James to park one into left field. If he never pulls the ball all season and drives in 90 runs, I'll be pretty happy about that. So, you know, you got the young guys who have to get on base and make some things happen. I'm so glad Josh Bell is back here. He loves this community. The community loves him. Nathaniel Lowe in that lineup. Hopefully K-Bert makes a good comeback and we can, you know, see what he can do. Jacob Young, so good out in center field defensively. And when he gets on base, he's so exciting.
Electric.
So I think we're going to score runs, guys. I think we're going to make some good things happen offensively. by far the most steals in all of baseball last year, a team record. But it's going to boil down to McKenzie and these young pitchers and what they can do. And I hate it that DJ Hurst got hurt, and there goes some of our depth. But the first thing I said when I saw Kyle Finnegan down in spring training last week, I said, man, I am so glad to see you back. I hate calling blown saves in the ninth inning. You know, and Kyle blew a few, but every closer does. You know, nobody's perfect. Yeah. I mean, the guy had 37 saves for a team that won 71 games last year. So, you know, we got the makings of some exciting things to happen, but it's going to start with that young pitching, and then we have to play better defense.
You talked about blown saves there. This is a really random recall for me. Possibly my favorite ever Nats win at RFK. You remember the Yankees were in town? We're probably talking 08-ish, something like that. Yeah. And Mo Riv blew a save in the ninth.
Yeah.
I mean, that place was electric.
Zim got him.
Yes, dude. I was at that game with a bunch of my buddies from University of Maryland that were all Yankee fans, and it was so much fun to do that to an all-timer like Mariano Rivera.
You know, and Joe Torre, who was managing that Yankee team, very good friend of mine from St. Louis, he was an all-star, you know, a batting champion with the Cardinals, Braves before that. And when he was my first manager when I went back to the Cardinals in 1995 after being with Whitey Herzog a decade before that.
Wow.
And I saw Joe that weekend. I said, Joe, I know you guys get this everywhere you go, but this is our World Series this weekend. And the Nats beat the Yankees 2 out of 3 in that series.
It was unbelievable.
And, you know, Zim did his thing. And
was that a Saturday afternoon game?
Yeah, I believe so it was. And, you know, another Zim bomb, the Z-man, whatever you call him. And that was, to me, that was the first time I really felt a playoff atmosphere at RFK.
Yeah.
And then the first time I felt it in this ballpark, of course, Zim hit the walk-off homer against the Braves in 08, the night we opened up Nationals Park. That game was
freezing.
On ESPN, so I didn't get to call it. But the next time I really felt a playoff atmosphere in this ballpark was Steven Strasburg's first big league start June of 2010.
Unbelievable.
I was 14 here. Pirates in 7 innings.
Yeah.
You know, had they left him in, he might have struck out 20. Who knows? But they weren't going to do that to a guy making his debut. That was electric. And, of course, the drafting of Steven, the drafting of Bryce the year after that, and then Jason Worth shows up in 11, and then in 12 we're in the playoffs. So, you know, that three-year sequence there when we were still struggling but got those young guys that were drafted number one, and then Worth comes in and Gio shows up, and then, you know, things just took off from there. It was fantastic.
The young talent that they're acquired so far, do you see any comparison to what happened before?
You know, it's interesting because that one was kind of centered around two different guys. This one, the thing I like about this team, it's not one guy. You know, because when Bryce showed up, Bryce this, Bryce that, and he deserved that. I mean, you know, he was a phenom. And I will forever be grateful to Bryce Harper for what he did for our ball club and our organization and for this city. And, you know, down the road, he had a decision to make about his future. He made that decision, and the Phillies gave him the 13 years. But, you know, we had Ryan Zimmerman on that team. Jason Worth was on that team. As I mentioned, Gio, Jordan Zimmerman, all these guys. You know, and then Anthony Rendon would show up. So, I mean, it was an unbelievable roster of guys. But this time, and I know B. Mitch appreciates this from a team standpoint, it's a whole bunch of different guys.
Yeah.
It's the shortstop. It's the right fielder. It's the center fielder. It's the left fielder. It's the second baseman. It's the bullpen. It's the starters. And, you know, when now we have reliable veterans at first base, whether it's Bell or Lowe.
Yeah.
Some days one of them's going to play first. The other one's going to DH. And so, to me, the talent is more spread around among the young guys on this team. And that gives me great hope that this could be not only – an exciting year to get us going, but also it could be a trend surrounding a lot of good young talent that'll keep things going for quite a while. There's a great nucleus here.
Absolutely. Talking with our friend Bob Carpenter. Of course, you can watch him, Masson Sports, all of the Nats games. Carp is on the call. You can give him a follow on X at @scorebook_Bob. Joins us via the Rood Guest Hotline. Rood is the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. You know, opening day is always so much fun. I wonder.
You see these kids here. That's
totally, man. I wonder.
Kids with the parents. I love it.
Well, as long as they're not Philly fans, we're okay.
They look all right.
Although they look legit.
will you allow yourself a moment today to take it all in, or is it just you got to focus and call the game?
No, I'm going to look out during, you know, we're doing an hour pregame show on Masson today.
Awesome.
And I'm sure Franny and I will do a cameo in there. They don't want to overexpose us too much. But, you know, Dan will have most of that. But the pregame stuff, when you see the flag out there, is there a flyover? I don't know. You know, we'll see.
Oh, tease. The teases is getting more and more real.
I honestly don't know.
But look, we got Nat's pajamas over there.
Whoa.
Nat's onesie. That's a fan right there.
Yeah, that's head to toe right there. But, you know, when that first pitch is thrown, it's time to work. And Franny and I will do that. And I remember I got interviewed by a reporter in St. Louis before my first opening day. And he's like, you know, you grew up 7 miles from the ballpark. How do you feel about being a broadcaster? You're in the big leagues and all that. And I said something. I don't know. I hadn't thought about it ahead of time. I said, hey, man, I'm here to work. because B. Mitch knows this. Every day you got to bring it. And if you're here to work, the rest of it kind of takes care of itself. When you have that reversed and you got some things backwards and you're here to work comes after – Here I come. Here comes my ego, and I'm, you know, hey, look at me. When that comes after that, that's when you got a problem. So, hey, once that first pitch is thrown, Franny and I are here to work, and we're going to enjoy the heck out of it, and just really hope for a compelling, interesting, entertaining game.
Definitely,
absolutely. Definitely. Will you indulge me on one rather obscure topic?
Absolutely.
Okay. I really, really like the toasted ravioli appetizer in St. Louis.
It's
fantastic.
And you know what's funny about that? I grew up there, but I'm not a big TR guy.
Oh, TR. Yeah. I didn't even know
that. They call them TRs.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm all about the regular square little ravioli pies with the meat inside. Get this squash and all this stuff out of my face.
I'm out on that.
Squash ravioli? Are you kidding me?
They tried to make it in Indianapolis. I want
meat in the ravioli, and I want meat sauce on top of it.
Damn it. Get Bob Carpenter some meat raviolis.
Don't bring that squash around.
What's the sports bar in St. Louis? It's one of them.
Right next to the ballpark?
It's one of the most popular sports
bars.
Patios.
Patios.
It's been there. When you look at the top sports bars around the country, it's always up there.
Yeah, and it survived the new ballpark. It was about three blocks away from the old Busch Stadium, and now it's about a half a block away from the new stadium, which was built just to the south of that. So there's a bridge right there that carries Interstate 64 to the east across the Mississippi, and that interstate saved Patios from probably getting torn down for ballpark
stuff.
Cool, but that's where everybody goes before and after the game over there.
Bob, I once went to a bar in East St. Louis called Fast Eddie's.
And you lived it.
Don't go there too often.
All of the food
you lived to tell the tale.
All of the food was served on a stick, no matter what you wanted. Chicken
Eddie's
on a stick, meat on a stick, sausage on a stick. I'm not sure I recommend
you stayed
it.
Too long, you're going to be on a stick.
Exactly.
My two older sisters were both born at St. Mary's Hospital in East St. Louis, Illinois. My whole family's from Illinois. My mom and dad are from Collinsville, which is about 10 miles east of the Arch. And when our family came over from Italy, a lot of the families came into Chicago, Americanized their names. My last name is actually Carpentari, T-A-R-I, not T-R for toasted ravioli. But a lot of the Italian families filtered down to southern Illinois because that's where the coal mines were, and that's where the steady work was for the men. So I've got Illinois blood and Missouri blood in me, and every year when Missouri played Illinois in basketball and sometimes in football, my dad and I weren't speaking to each other that weekend.
That was an intense rivalry.
They call it the border war.
They don't play it anymore now, right?
Basketball they do.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
Football here and there, but basketball they're still playing. Yeah.
Carp, have a great call. Appreciate have a great you, season. Thank you for making time for us.
You know, it's really great to see you guys after all these times. B. Mitch and I have been on the radio together. You are so much better looking than most radio people.
I think he's just talking to B. Mitch.
But that goes for both of
them. I'll take it. What the hell? I did this the other day on TV. I'm going to do it now. I don't care if it's cheesy. Bob, see you later.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Appreciate it, man.
Thanks
Bob
for having me on, guys. Carpenter. Nat's opening day. Let's talk a little about what opening day means. Maybe the opening day menu. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cluster Buster.
Make me act a fool.
Cluster Buster, you feeling all right? All right, he's back, baby. The celebrities are out. Cluster Buster, Chris Kynard, Tailgate Ted, Josh Kirby. Everybody's coming. We just saw Dan Colco.
Yep.
Man on the street. Looks like my old truck is here. There's a lot happening, man.
Yeah, your old truck came to hang out with you, dog.
How would you describe that first responder vehicle?
That's a right fire there? Truck.
Yeah, but it's like a.
It's a fire truck.
Space,
truck.
Yeah, like a fire space truck. Yeah. Jeff's handing me the menu. You mean just shout out what they got at Tap 99?
No, he was handing me that because I asked him to get one.
Okay, well, I guess we're about to order some food. I got some hot chocolate. I got a ginger shot. A lot is happening.
I'm going to take care of you, Jay.
I'm getting a lot of texts from people involved in things at College Park. Brian, every once in a while, I start screaming and people pay attention. It's a very,
well, now they want to talk to you.
Very interesting world. If you are coming to the game, man, I think the vibe down here is going to be awesome. I think Tap 99 is going to be awesome. They got brick oven pizza, handhelds. I mean, kind of hard to argue with an ultimate steak and cheese. I know you're not a steak and cheese guy. You know, that's what I had at – it's also – ironic that there's Tap 99 and Tap at MGM National Harbor. But at Tap at MGM, I had a smash patty. Are you familiar with these smash patties?
Mm-hmm.
They're quite good.
Yeah. I might try one.
I think you should. Yeah. I did want to kind of check in on the state of DC sports, okay?
Okay, let's go.
I had a talk two dudes, Peter Tyler and Randy Wellington. I had a Zoom with them the other day to talk about some stuff. And they were saying, like, you know, this is a pretty remarkable time in our city. Obviously, I don't know that the Nats are a wild card team, right? I think they get the 75, 80 wins is pretty damn good, right? But who knows?
They can get to a roll, and those guys get a lot of confidence, and then that talent comes out.
1,000%, man. Baseball is a team of streaks. It's a league of streaks.
Yeah.
Last year, they had the really good pitching in the first half of the season, just the bats weren't there. If they can get that level of pitching again, and now the bats are there,
yeah.
Things can be different quick. Like, we had Bees, our baseball insider, on yesterday, and he thinks things are going to turn around for the Red Sox, for the D-backs. Like, things can happen, man. That said, I think there's – without being a homer, I think it's fair to say there is a sense of optimism surrounding the Nats.
It's okay to have optimism and not be a homer.
Right.
You know, I just think, like, when people go overboard because they're trying to promote themselves as the biggest fan out there, let's not be stupid. Okay, but it's great to have optimism. You have some legitimate, talented kids, young kids on this team.
Right.
And if they were to come out and hit their stride, you don't know what could really happen. You know what I mean? You really don't know what could happen. But the ultimate thing is just to, you know, don't get out there. And be like, oh, yeah, we're going to win 120. No, you're not.
11:30 a.m. Dudes are falling in the street.
Guess who didn't win 120 last year?
The Dodgers. Right?
They didn't. Right. So I just think, though, as Francis –
Franson
said earlier, you can improve without really having that win-loss record be something. And that's what it's about with this rebuild.
Totally. SVP has a famous line. He says, choose optimism, it costs the same. I think C.J. Abrams said this to me the other night. He said, you know, for a couple of years you've heard the Nats are coming. The Nats might be here. We'll see, but it's an exciting time to be a Nats fan. And then go around the league here. Like, go around the city. I think it's obviously an exciting time to be a Commanders fan.
It is.
Undoubtedly.
Oh, very much. Very much.
They were in the NFC title game. Like, that hasn't happened in 30 years.
Okay, so now the fire trucks are here now, Jay.
Here's what I got to say.
They're going to block off the street.
If you are parked on N Street, you better come move your car. Or it's about to get moved for you. Like, whoever is parked.
Or you may not be able to move.
Directly in front of our set here, I recommend moving your vehicle.
Oh, this car has been here. And I know something fell in the back of it, but this car will be towed eventually.
Now, does that have a handicap tag? I don't know how that's going to work. Does it, what? Jeff? Look at the thing hanging from the mirror, from the rearview mirror. I don't know. Good luck figuring all that out. Nats, optimistic.
It's not Skins, a handicapped parking spot, though.
Sure. Obviously, burgundy and gold is the most optimistic you've been in a long time. Then you go to the Caps, dude. Not only do you have Alex Ovechkin chasing the gold record, they play tonight, 7:30, I believe. They're in Minnesota.
A lot of sports going on here tonight, bro.
Yo, if you don't have multiple televisions, I don't know what you're doing. Because you got baseball starting, basketball Sweet 16, Caps are on tonight. It's going to be a busy, busy night. But you've got the Caps are in first place, fighting for the President's Trophy.
Yeah.
And you've got Ovi chasing the record. I mean, dude.
That's fantastic.
In the post-Stanley Cup run Caps era, this is the best.
This is the livest they've been.
And it feels different because you've got an absolute stud coach. Like, you know, when we had Alan on yesterday, and Alan May knows the Caps inside and out and has for, what, 20 years? Mm-hmm. And hell, I mean, maybe longer than that because he played for him prior to that.
Yeah.
Like, Alan knows, and Alan doesn't blow smoke. And when Alan talks about how tight that dressing room is and how they all just mess around and hang with each other, like, when Alan talks about that stuff, we talk about the players so much.
Yeah.
Carberry deserves a lot of credit, man.
He deserves a lot of credit and because he is allowing those guys to be themselves. You know, you saw Kevin just talked about the same thing, that inside the locker room thing, and normally it's because the coach allows that. There are a lot of coaches who make this thing so damn difficult, and the players are they constantly butting heads with each other. But when you have a coach who have find a way to tap into what these guys are and allow it to grow, you can have a lot of success.
I mean,
and it does make a difference how old or how young. That coach just has to be a guy who understands his squad. Joe Gibbs did it. Andy Reid was doing it. We're watching Carberry get it done right now with this squad. You know, that's what you have to get. You know, coaches who understand these guys make my thing go, not I make them go.
Totally, man. You got to press the right buttons, but it's always about putting the guys in the best positions, not trying to force them into what you think is the right way to go. But, dude, I say all this. The sun is shining. The sky is blue. Legitimately, from our perch at Half an Industry.
It's starting to warm up right here, too.
Can you see a single cloud in the sky, Brian?
I don't see one.
I don't see one.
Nah, none.
And you know what? I truly believe life is about choices. And if you listen to our program about 90 minutes ago, I made a choice to get some stuff off my chest. But what I'm choosing to do now is really look forward to 8 hours from now, 8 hours from this exact moment, the Terps tip off against the Florida Gators.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's a basketball game tonight.
Yeah.
And whatever might happen tomorrow or yesterday, who gives a bleep? There's a baseball game at 4 o'clock. There's a basketball game tonight. The football
and a hockey game tonight.
There's a hockey game tonight. The football team in town has arguably the best young quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
We choose to smile today, folks. That's me saying it.
Not earlier you were.
Hey, ooh. I got a hot chocolate. Man, about to take a ginger shot.
I had
shot.
To give you a hug, man. Greg said give you a hug and a Diet Coke.
I haven't got the Diet Coke yet, but the hot chocolate hit the spot. You know what? Maybe he was talking to a dude listening to a dude like Bob Carpenter, who's accomplished so much in his career.
Yeah.
Like, sports is a game of ebb and flows, and if you lose a coach that's been to one Sweet 16 in 20 years, I think the sun's still going to come up tomorrow.
Now, when you get a little older, you'll realize that you don't have to keep worrying about it. Just keep moving.
I'm very old, Brian. All right. Here's why you listen to B. Mitch and Finley.
Things are happening out here, brother.
We're about to tell you how it's going down. We are at Half an N, right outside of Tap 99, right outside of Kilwin's. Kilwin's got that fire ice cream. They got that loud pack ice cream. They got the mint chip. Woo! I love that stuff. You know when Terry Crews is in, what's the movie where they play football in jail?
Longest Yard.
He's like, I got the shakes that'll make your booty quake. That's what Kilwin's has got.
Terry Crews crazy. He was crazy when he played.
We just ordered lunch from Tap 99. What'd you get?
Smash burger.
Damn, I got a salad. I'm soft.
A double patty.
But here, this is gonna be
man,
a first.
All them salads you eat don't seem to be working.
Yeah, you know, they kind of are. I'm back down. But this is gonna be interesting. Brian and I have a car So where we're parked at half.
No, it's not our car.
It's not our car. But there is a car, what would you say, be 5 feet in front of us?
Yeah.
And, yo, it's Nat's opening day. You can't be parked on N and Half Street. Like,
no.
That's just how it is.
No.
And here's what's happening. Sir, what was your name? What's your name, dog? Dante? My man Dante just rolled up with his tow truck, and this Mazda's about to get got. So, listen, I honestly think my man Dante has the, what do you call that, Brian? Like the contraption that goes under your tires?
It's a tow truck.
Yeah, but what do you call the
I don't know.
I don't know. I think if this is your Mazda, you're already cooked. But it's possible you're only slightly warm and not fully cooked. So if this is your Mazda at half an inn, you better get here. Because Dante, where are you headed? Where's this car going?
To the yard.
East of the river? Yeah. You're about to have a bad day, man. I'm not trying to make fun of it. I just wish you moved your car.
Because it's been here since we got here.
Yeah. And it's...
It's been over 2 hours.
Like, let's be honest, B. Sometimes, you know me, I'm a roll the dice fella. There's no chance that's a legal spot. And it's definitely not a legal spot on
the day of a game.
Yeah.
It seemed like somebody that came last night and thought they were going to get up early, but, you know, they had a rough night and they hadn't gotten up yet.
Now, I have another theory. So this fire truck is about to come into this spot.
Yeah.
But looking at the other fire truck, I kind of think he's going to have to turn around because I think the fire trucks put their big ladders up and then they put up that big American flag between the two of them.
There's another one back here too.
So isn't he going to need to... Oh, no. We're going to get the butt of the fire truck and not the face of the fire truck.
Well,
what's going to be backed into us? I think it's going to be...
Well, the butt might be better because it's farther away from the exhaust.
Where's the butt on a fire? Where's the exhaust on a fire truck?
Right off of the back of the actual truck part, not the trailer part.
I did not know that. I've learned a lot about fire truck butts today. And if I had ever said that term, I never would have thought I was talking about an actual fire truck. But here we are, opening day, half an end. We are outside of Tap 99. What's up? Is that Bo? All right, cool. My boy Barch is here.
We had a great day today, man.
Up. Yo, it's warming up, too.
We had a young man earlier who was upset with Jeff. He apologized. He said, man, I was acting different, man. I'm sorry.
That dude was very cool, man. Yeah, he came back. That dude was just fired up to see you.
Yeah. He said, man, that dude told me I had to go. He said, man, I got upset.
Speaking of things that might make you upset, B, NFL owners are considering – so owners' meetings are this weekend. that was funny.
Don't hit yourself, man.
Shout out to my dude from Cap One Arena that always has the real camera. I appreciate you. I hope that's not your Mazda because it's about to get gone. The competition committee, all these votes are going to come down probably Monday. They want to make the new kickoff permanent. And I love that they decided.
I'm not mad at that.
No?
No.
There's talk of also moving it.
Moving it what?
That touchbacks go to the 35-yard line.
What, but you know what?
They're trying to force. Oh, he's gone.
What did they do? What did they do this year where you see there were games where the Commanders basically they kicked it short.
The dirty kick.
And they were stopping people inside the 20. It's going to make people have to have more skill than, I got my kicker with the big leg. Just kick it out. You don't want to give it to the line on 35.
Dude, you give it to them at the 35. The way these guys can kick now. If you get two first downs for a lot of NFL kickers, they're trying a 60-yarder.
When they get to the 35-yard line, and I remember when Coach Gibbs –
If you're at the 35 and then you get to the 45 and the other 45 –
I wish I could go back and find that paper Coach Gibbs gave us where you get the ball at the 15, the 20, the 25, the 30, 30, the percentages of what ended up in the score. And from the 20 to the 35, it's about 15-20% different score.
Sure.
So, I mean, you have to – figure that out. But you know what? We have a very good special teams coach, so I'm not worried about him figuring it out.
I agree. I mean, by and large, they had a ton of success last year with the dirty kick. The only thing that got them was that Kevontae Turpin kickoff return in the Dallas game. I try not to be distracted, Brian, but they keep putting me in public places. What on earth? Dante, what the hell is going on now? Why are you? I'm unaware of this maneuver.
That's how you get inside the car. Back in the day, you have to use a hanger. They don't have to use a hanger. He got a different way of getting in.
Yo, you know when you get the doctor takes your blood pressure and they wrap that thing around your wrist or your bicep and then they pump it up? That's what they're doing to this car. Jeff, do you have one of those devices? Is that how you steal cars?
I don't steal cars.
But remember, that's how he get into his own car.
Yeah, remember you had to break into your own car? What is happening now?
He's going to unlock the door, JP.
But if they're towing it, why do you need to get inside of it?
Because you got to turn the wheel a little bit or get the brakes off. Dude, JP, you haven't lived in the damn suburbs all your life, have you?
I say, have you been under a rock your entire life?
You've seen this before. You went to the University of Maryland. This happens every other day.
Hold one damn second. I have been locked out of my car. I understand if you were trying to do that. I didn't understand why a tow truck driver would have to open the car.
Because the brakes are on. You don't want to drag the tires.
Right, I thought that was the way you didn't get your car towed.
No.
And clearly, they figured it out.
Oh, no. Good thing believe they pay me. They have sports, everything buddy. They need to take your car where they want to take it.
Damn. This poor Mazda, you got, dog.
No, he didn't get got.
He parked it there with his tires turned like that to try to not get towed.
He took a risk.
Sure.
Because he had a long night and figured I may not get up in time.
You got to be honest. One of the reasons I like the Deebo Samuel trade so much, it was low risk, high reward.
That was high risk and low reward.
This right parking there. Spot is high risk, low reward. What do you get? A night of free parking? Like, I mean.
Whenever you get the night of free parking, you have to get up the next morning and move it.
B, the ice cream is fantastic at Kilwin's, but it ain't get your car towed fantastic.
The way... There was no ice cream.
At Kilwin's?
No, not last night when they parked it there.
Oh, that doesn't look like it's going great for the Mazda.
I parked my car outside right behind the garage because that's where my charge is set up. But I knew I got to get up at a certain time to move it because everybody in the house moved before I do.
Right.
So I got to get up in the morning. They didn't get that right.
Yeah, something's got to give here. Here's what I know. We are live, Nats opening day, outside of Kilwin's, outside of Tap 99. There's a gentleman to Brian's left that is with the fire department. I wouldn't mess with that dude. So let's get this Mazda out of here. Let's get these fire trucks parked. Let's get it going. Coming up next, Johnny Holiday live from San Francisco as he gets ready for the Terps taking on the Gators tonight. Nobody go anywhere.